On this episode, I'm in conversation with Sonia Sparkles. Hello and welcome to the QI Guy in Conversation With podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jonathan O'Reilly, aka the QI Guy. Thank you very much for listening and giving us feedback on the first episode of Season 2 with Tom Geraghty. You can go back and listen to that wherever you get your podcasts, and we had some nice feedback on Twitter at the QI underscore guy. We really appreciate that, and thank you for all your support and for spreading the word on this podcast. Today I am in conversation with Sonia Sparkles. Not her given second name, I'm sure you've figured out, but you'll hear Sonia talk about why she's adopted that kind of moniker of Sonia Sparkles. Sonia is the queen of sketchnoting, and we'll get into exactly what sketchnoting is and how you do it all. But it's that idea of taking something that's perhaps maybe a little bit complex and a bit big and a bit wieldy, and trying to simplify that message down to its kind of the simplest parts, whether it's a policy or a program, or perhaps it's communicating some outcome using simple drawings and some simple notes to catch the attention. And you'll hear Sonia talk about how she got involved in sketchnoting, why she got involved in sketchnoting, and what it takes for you guys to get involved as well. And I'll share a little bit of a story or two around my experience of sketchnoting. It's something that is, I think, gaining traction certainly within health and social care. Lots of folk having a go at sketchnoting and sharing that as a way to communicate their quality improvement work, but also we're seeing that, I think, in the wider system being used to communicate lots of different things, policy, strategies, being used to communicate with the public, and it seems to be very effective and it seems to kind of capture the imagination and have an impact. So without further ado, let's get to my conversation with Sonia. So welcome back to the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by Sonia Sparkles. That's an interesting second name, Sonia. I wonder what the history of that is.
It's something that I've had for many years. It just felt apt in terms of where I want to get to as a person, just Sparkle. So, and then it's just stuck ever since, really.
That's really cool. And when you look at, you know, your Twitter and your website, you do actually get that kind of, that does hit you, that sparkle. It's all about kindness, it's all about compassion, and that absolutely sticks with you. So you're a senior manager in healthcare. We'll not necessarily touch on where, but you're also kind of an advanced quality improvement practitioner, really kind of passionate about quality improvement, and that kind of makes you uniquely placed to talk about the subject matter we're going to cover today, which is sketch notes. What is a sketch note, Sonia?
So to really get into that, I think I'd have to take you back and tell you the first story about how I came across them.
Absolutely.
And they meant to me. So it's probably about four years ago now. I was in a role as a patient safety manager. And one of the things that I always recognised is in a lot of investigations that happen for incidents for patients, the outcome was, there was a lot around read the policy not followed. And I remember one particular case where a nurse was really upset about a fall that had happened for a patient, which resulted in a hip fracture. And it was suggested that the policy hadn't been followed. Now, I looked at this policy and it was about 64 pages long, which is quite common in healthcare. And I just felt there's got to be a better way to communicate and share key points to very busy staff who will not have the time to read hundreds of policies and procedures and so on. And that was the first light bulb moment for me about what can I do to help this situation. Now, I came across sketch notes on Twitter by a lady called Sylvia Duckworth, who I still to this day love and would recommend anyone who wants to start to sketch note to have a look at her work. And I just absolutely loved the simplicity in her messages, straight to the point, precise, key facts that you'd want to know, teamed up with something playful and fun in terms of an image attached to a message. I thought, this is perfect. This is just what we need to try and get to the key core messages. So sketch notes are really that. It's about doodling and drawing with a purpose, having something visual attached to your messages, because our brain tends to remember that a lot more than lots of text. And it's really about how we can simplify sometimes complex messages that we're trying to convey to people.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. And I think, you know, kind of attaching that to that incident, because that's so often that's the kind of outcome of investigations and incident reviews, is, oh, the policy wasn't followed. And you kind of think, well, you know, why? And that is a reality of it, is that staff don't have time to read all of these policies, let alone actually implement them in what's becoming a very complex environment of healthcare. So that's great. I'm not much of an artist, so I get very frustrated. So I mean, can anyone sketch note? Do you need to be Banksy in order to start putting this stuff together? Because you say that on your website, you say that you stumbled on your drawing skills.
No, not at all. You do not need to be artistic in the slightest form to do sketch notes. And I've worked with many people who have come along and been hesitant, thinking, well, I'm not sure I can do this. I don't think it's for me. I'm not confident. And the thing about sketch notes is it's not about the art. It's about the message, your imagination, your creativity. If you can draw shapes, circle, square, triangle, then that's all you need to do. That is the core element for doing a sketch note. So a lot of sketch notes is about you really honing in on what message you want to convey. And I cheat all the time, Jonathan. I Google, absolutely Google things that I can't think of what to draw with. You know, I always Google something. If you Google the word imagination and put the word icon on the end, you come up at hundreds of images for inspiration. And I still do that to this day, because it's not about just you being creative and artistic and having this amazing ability. It's actually about what you can use around you to help inform what you're trying to create. So absolutely, I stumbled across this 4 years ago. And I learnt from sketch notes that other people had drawn, try to draw what they do. And there's absolutely loads of YouTube videos and books and things that you can buy around sketch noting. But I think I found the biggest barrier that people face was themselves in believing that they can do this. Mm-hmm. So if you think back to when you were a child, there was absolutely no hesitation with your imagination and drawing. You didn't seek perfection in what you were trying to draw. You just absolutely let it free flow and just do what comes to your mind. As we grow older, we become a lot more critical, self-analyzing what we're doing, what will people think of what we're doing. We're a lot more logical in our thought process. There's a lot more pressures and demands, and we lose that creativity we had as a child. So I think, you know, in terms of your question, do you need to be artistic? Not at all. There's some really simple key things that you can do. And one of the biggest things is about practice and believing in yourself. Especially this is coming from me, who had no artistic ability 4 years ago, didn't even know I could draw anything, to really just exploring and believing in myself. And that sort of spiraled onwards and led me to the path that I'm on.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said the piece about Googling. I've done a few sketch notes, and That's exactly what I do. I think to myself, right, okay, this sentence or this paragraph, and these are the keywords, and then I'll just Google the words and go icon, picture,
Yes.
clip art, and then I go, oh, I'll draw that. So if you do it, that has to be a good thing. And
Yeah.
you're so right about losing that creativity and that imagination and that skill set you had as a kid. Before coming on to do this first recording, me and my 6-year-old daughter were drawing stars on an easel in her room, and her stars were, she loved them. I wouldn't necessarily say they looked like stars, but she loved them, and I could see that it was a star and it communicated. So maybe I was being a wee bit too critical. So you kind of alluded to some of it there, but I'm really keen to know what the process is like behind creating a sketch note. What makes a good subject matter? Is it just a big 64-page policy that you want to simplify down? What are you thinking about with the audience? Everything about colours. Do you collaborate with people? When you're doing a sketch note, or you've got an idea for a sketch note, is it something you run past people, or do you just crack on and do it yourself?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. It's sometimes daunting to think, well, where do I start? I want to do a sketch note, and how do I make this happen? The example I gave of that, the falls and the policies, is quite a good example in terms of you have to start with something that you're passionate about and that you can really connect to. So that particular nurse who was upset and that frustration around the policies was something that I felt quite emotive about and thought I want to draw something and do something about this. And I have gone on to do quite a few different walls posters that are in use. But the key thing is to really think about something that you're passionate about or emotive about or something that will help you. And it might be as time goes on, you explore different topic matters that you are not particularly attached to. But certainly, if you're starting off, think about something that you're passionate about because you're a lot more likely to use your imagination to translate that, your experiences, your thoughts, and try and put that onto a page than something that you're not familiar with or attached to. So my recommendation would be when choosing a topic, make sure it's something that really moves you. Or, the second part when you talked about the audience, I think when you're starting off, I always thought of myself as the audience to begin with. What would I want to see? What would it mean to me? Because I think you have to explore within yourself to start off with sketch notes to understand how you would translate that into a sketch note and a message. You need to understand your own internal thinking. And as time goes on, it certainly is about, well, what would that other individual group think? So there's a lot that I do around patients and what they might think of certain perspectives. What would their thoughts be? What would they like to see? What would they like to read? You really need to try and get out your own thought process and transfer yourself into the shoes of someone else. But I think to start with, you need to work on yourself and build your own confidence, build your own understanding, know what matters to you. Get familiar with doing a couple of sketch notes around yourself and then look to explore wider.
Yeah, that's really that's a bit of a revelation for me, actually, to kind of think about what you would want to see first, rather than necessarily thinking about whether this is for health and social care professionals to consume, or service users, or people with kind of lived and living experience, or Joe Public. But actually, what would you want to see of it? Which is, I mean, I know we're having a conversation with you, but that made me think of the one time that I would say that I've really successfully kind of produced and used a sketch note was actually for an interview.
Lovely.
So to answer the interview question, I decided that I would, rather than do the PowerPoint presentation, I would do a sketch note. And I thought, actually, that I was just being slightly unique and different, and that would separate me from all the other candidates. But I actually just listened to what you said. I've kind of ticked all those boxes. So it was something that was really important to me at that time. You've got an interview for a job and a question to answer. I thought about, how I would answer the question, what I would do. And I absolutely Googled all the icons. I absolutely Googled all of that. So, you know, I can kind of attest to what you're saying there, that actually that does work, because that was the interview for the job that I'm in just now. So it was successful in communicating everything I wanted to communicate, and perhaps also doing that in a simpler, more straightforward way, rather than a kind of, you know, busy set of PowerPoint slides. Yes, that's really, really good. Now, your drawings look fantastic. And what I wanted to know, this is kind of maybe a bit of a technical question, is it pens and paper, or are you doing this digitally? Because I tend to go for the pen and paper first, and I always get so frustrated, and about three or four, you know, attempts in, three or four bits of paper crumpled up next to me, I think, oh, I've had enough of this. And I haven't quite got around to getting myself one of those fancy pens for the iPad. So, I mean, does that matter, or, you know, do you have a preference? What works for you?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because there's many different ways that you can do sketch notes. And I particularly use the iPad and an app called Procreate, which allows me to digitally draw a lot of the work that I do. However, the absolute starting point for me for a long time was coloured pencils, pens, paper. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be able to enjoy this process and relax, and you don't want to put too much pressure on yourself to seek this perfection and learn different skills and different messages. So my absolute recommendation would be to start with the basic paper and lots of different coloured pens. There's just something different about doing that compared to the iPad. It's like people say there's something different about holding a book and reading it rather than using the Kindle. It's quite similar experience to that. And, you know, in answer to what you said, it can, if it's feeling frustrating, that's certainly not the intention for sketch notes. Mm-hmm. And there's some quite good key tips and rules that you can go through that can help you organise that sketch note and understand how you want to do it, which will reduce some of the frustration as you start to practice more and more.
Yeah, maybe, you know, that kind of process of the pens and paper is maybe a wee bit more tactile and a wee bit more in tune with those skills you were talking about in childhood, because, you know, kids are maybe not doing those types of, they maybe are doing those types of things on iPads, who knows, but, you know, I don't see my two doing that on their iPads, but it's pens and papers and crayons and chalk and all of that. Yes. So we spoke about kind of sketch notes helping with kind of comms and general comms and making things simpler and more digestible, and I'm really passionate about the communication of QI and making it as accessible as possible. Sketch notes clearly help with that in a general sense, but in terms of QI, is there anything, you know, specific or particular, whether it's about tools or the outputs or outcomes, that you think sketch notes are really useful for?
Yeah, so one of the main things around, which I personally found around improvement, is your ability to think differently about a problem that might keep presenting itself. And rather than doing the same thing again and again, we're looking to do something different. Absolutely same concept for sketch notes here, that rather than just having the same procedure or policy or wordy document, you're using a different part of your brain to try and translate something in a way that you might not have done before. So quite two similar aspects to think about. A lot of quality improvement is around creativity as well. So I always say, how many times do you see the same project rehashed a year later with a different title? Because what we're doing is we're going down the same mental valley in our thought process, and we are not making that big leap or jump to a different valley to completely think about this problem in a different way. And that is the same thing with sketch notes. Rather than going down the same mental valley and logical thinking of how we might process information or ideas or thoughts, it gives you the ability to really explore, jump into a different thought valley. You know, an example could be Leonardo da Vinci, who thought of the helicopter 450 years before it was even created.
Yeah.
Absolutely jumping from a different mental valley to another mental valley for something that probably seemed so outrageous all those hundreds of years ago. But that's quite similar in terms of being able to do that leap. You need to be creative, and you hear Blue Sky thinking and thinking outside the box and think differently, but you think, well, how do I do that? It's all good and well saying it. I think being able to do sketch notes around a problem that you might be experiencing or around an improvement process that you're going through might also help you do that leap that other tools might not necessarily give you. So, yeah, there's a definite connection between the two.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I guess looking at sketch notes and seeing the outputs from different people, you kind of think like there's been an output, there's been some kind of outcome, and then they put a sketch note together to communicate that. But actually, sketch notes as part of the process of understanding and delivering that output or outcome is really interesting, and I can see how that might fire kind of synapses in the brain differently. And you know, if you were very different kind of, I suppose, place you're in, if you're sitting drawing versus if you're just making notes or making lists. Yeah, but that's really interesting. That's kind of giving me some food for thought there. So, you know, if you go onto your website, it's soniasparkles.com, you'd see there's tons of sketch notes kind of categorized. There's, I think, three or four different categories there, and there's improvement and there's all sorts of stuff. So I've got to put you on the spot. Do you have any kind of favourite sketch notes, anything that you've either enjoyed doing or sketch notes that have been particularly successful in terms of landing a message with folk? Is there any that you'd say, these are the ones to go and look at, guys?
Oh, I think that, you know, you said an interesting point before about in terms of people understanding what improvement is, you want to try and simplify that message, and unless you can do that, people won't be able to connect with it. So I think a lot of the ones that I have done around quality improvement have had a lot of positive feedback and responses, because people have felt, with it being on that one page, really simple, they get it, they can connect to it, it's not too complicated, it's not too wordy, it's an absolute great starting point for them to build on. So, you know, the model for improvement, or Deming's system of profound knowledge, got a lot of good positive responses, you know, just because visually it's something that people could connect to and use and apply. I think my personal favourite one has been the ones where I sort of really went through something around management and leadership and what it means. And when I talked about you have to do something you're passionate about, I used a lot of my past experiences where maybe it wasn't as good as it could have been, and I was therefore able to translate that into something about how it should be going forward. Those personally were the ones for me that I connected with and really enjoyed doing.
Yeah, the Deming lens, system of profound knowledge, is a fabulous sketch note, and I have used that many times at the start of kind of whether it's teaching QI or at the start of improvement collaboratives to kind of get people into the mindset. It's such a quick and visually interesting way to put across what you know, it's four huge concepts with lots of stuff behind them, but you get people into that headspace straight away, so quickly. So as we kind of wind down here, Sonia, I mean, how can folk get involved and begin sketchnoting? Is it just as simple as you're saying, pick up the pens and paper? Is there workshops? Is there people that you would suggest they maybe follow on Twitter or find out a wee bit more about?
Yeah, I think it depends on the individual and how ready they feel about doing sketch notes. There's certainly people I've had who have come to me and said, look, I just picked up some pens, chose a topic, and just whatever came out, and it's slowly grown from there, which is sort of what I did at the start. It was a happy accident. But then there's absolutely different information and guides and tools out there that people can use. So there's my own Sketch Notes Club, which is a Twitter page, which is very particular to sketch notes that people have drawn and shared for inspiration and feedback. So there's lots on there if people want to have a look and be inspired about how sketch notes might look. And there's lots of great YouTube videos. You just put in how to sketch note, a great resource to use and follow. In particular, I've mentioned Sylvia Duckworth, who is my absolute go-to person for sketch notes. So maybe having a look at her work, that would also help. I've also offered and done lots of sessions with different hospitals and groups of people who might want to come together and go through this step by step with someone teaching them along the way. So that's certainly an option that's available. And then on my website, under the sketch note tab, there's a presentation with key tools that people might just want to print off and have a look at to try and follow through and see how they get on with sketch noting. But it absolutely is about practice, enjoying the process, cheating as much as you can, believing yourself. And as time goes on with anything, the more you practice, the better you get with it.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it has a bit of a kind of air of DIY punk rock beginnings to it. You just kind of, you know, you might not be the best guitar player or drum player, but you're going to just jump up on the stage and make a start. So we'll share links to all of that in the show notes, so the different websites, and you're at Sonia Sparkles on Twitter.
Yes, as well.
Fantastic. So Sonia, thank you very much for coming on the podcast today. It's been an absolute delight.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Sonia for a very illustrating conversation. Hugely inspirational, and I think she puts across so well that sketch noting, or indeed any kind of creative endeavour and what we're doing around quality improvement, as she describes it, is very much in that kind of sometimes that creative space and thinking outside the box. It's all about just having a go. You don't necessarily need to feel that you have all of the skills and all of the attributes to get into it. That comes with practice, but that idea of, again, you know, starting with what you're passionate with, starting with something you would like to communicate, and just having a go. I would reiterate again that the pens and pencils does leave me a bit frustrated, so maybe I'll try the iPad for future sketch noting. I imagine it'll be much easier just to swish away a line than rub things out or scrunch up a bit of paper. Just a little correction, I said at the end of that interview you can follow Sonia on Twitter. It's actually at Sonia_Sparkles rather than just Sonia Sparkles, but you can find the links to Sonia's Twitter and also her webpage, where you can access lots and lots of sketch notes around about different policies and strategies, and also different aspects of quality improvement methods, tools, and it's all free to use. As long as you're using it for kind of not-for-profit reasons, it's free to use. So it's a fantastic resource that you should absolutely make the most of. So we've come to the end of another episode of the QI Guy in Conversation With. I want to thank you again for listening and showing your support by following us on Twitter at @theQI_guy. Wherever you get your podcasts, leave us a review, give us those 5 stars. It helps boost us up the algorithm. I'm sure we must be in the top 10 of QI related podcasts, if there's such a chart. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another conversation, and until then, take care.